Thank you again for those messages and song. And we know the Lord will bless them to all of our heart. And we do thank God for those who come and sing and minister the gospel to our hearts. Again, could I say with Mr. Park, it's good to see each one. And the time is moving on tomorrow night, and we will be at the end of the first week. And that's how quickly time passes. We often use the phrase, time's flying. Mr. Park used it one day. His wife lost her temper and threw the clock on him. And he ducked down and said, boys, but the time's flying. Well, time flies, so we trust you'll push into the meetings night after night and join with us. Now, tonight we're going to take our Bible reading from Luke's Gospel in chapter 17. Luke's Gospel and chapter 17. We're going to commence our reading at the verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Amen, and God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Now can we just bow and ask for the Lord's help? Our loving God and eternal heavenly Father, we do rejoice again tonight in your presence, and we thank thee that thou hast told us where we are gathered in thy name, thou art in the midst. And our Father, we thank thee for the messages and song that have been rendered to our hearts, and for the message and the hymns that we have been singing together. Now as we come to your precious word and to the gospel, we ask that you'll write its truth indelibly upon all of our hearts. Give us a hearing ear and an understanding heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable in your sight. For we ask these things in the Savior's name. Amen. We're going to take verse 32 to form the words of our text for this evening. Three very simple but very, very important words, where it says, remember Lot's wife. You and I are told that we should forget a lot of things, and there are a lot of things that we should forget. When you and I come as sinners to Jesus, our sins are put into the sea of his forgetfulness, never again to be remembered against us again forever, and they're taken from us as far as the east is from the west, and God forgets the very fact that you and I ever sinned at all, and what God forgets, you and I there should forget. And yet there are things that God says we should not forget. For example, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And every young person, you should remember your Creator. And in the days of your youth, that is the easiest time and the most important time for you to call upon the Lord. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sadly, many throughout the world, and even in this province, They have forgotten the Sabbath day. They no longer keep it a holy day unto the Lord. It's become a day of pleasure. It's become a day of labor. Yet God says, remember the Sabbath day. And here in our text, God says, remember Lot's wife. I want you to keep that text before you because it is a very, very important text of Scripture. And the Lord brings it very forcibly to our attention. Even when He is dealing with things relating to His second coming, He says, remember Lot's wife. I'm always impressed with the words of the mighty prophet Daniel. When he said that a day would arrive, knowledge would increase, men's hearts would be so filled with fear that they would actually run to and fro throughout the earth. And I believe that that day is now more and more upon us. In the past few years, we have stepped out of a slow-moving society into a modern, affluent, and fast-moving day. Mankind finds himself propelled through life in such a mad hurry. He seldom thinks seriously about life or about death, about heaven or about hell. He lives for the moment. He's not interested in eternity. He lives for the things he can see. He's not interested in the things he cannot see. Consequently, 2008 finds you and I in a world that is difficult to reach with the gospel of Christ, and there is a spurning of God's free offer of salvation. Yet we find that such conditions prevailed in Sodom. And yet God in His mercy calls to you and to me to pause for a moment. He calls us to take heed. He calls us to consider our latter end. And He does so by words of this simple text, remember Lot's wife. You know, we read in the Bible of some great characters. Men who rose up to be spiritual giants for the Lord. Men who rose to the pinnacle of power in their day and generation. And yet, God does not say, remember them. I don't read where God in His Word says, remember Abraham, remember Moses, remember Joshua, remember Caleb. And you know, the Bible has much to say about many of the great characters within its pages. And here is a woman, and the Bible doesn't have very much to say about her outside of this portion of Scripture and in Genesis chapter 19. And yet the Bible says, remember Lot's wife. There was something important about this woman, something that God wanted you and me never to forget. Though He did not call us to remember other people, He calls us to remember this woman. You and I, of course, are called to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's why we meet around the Lord's table in remembrance of Him who gave His life for us. But here He says, remember Lot's wife. There's something special about this woman. There's something that God wants us to take note of. There's something that God wants to bring to our attention. And He says, whatever you do, don't forget Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Now, if you remember nothing else about this woman, you do well to remember her monument. It stands in the Scripture as God's beacon light, God's alarm bell, God's signpost to the peril and penalty of delay. She chose the sinner's pathway and she paid the sinner's price.
If you remember nothing else about her, remember this, that we are looking at a woman who chose the sinner's pathway and paid the sinner's price. And so it is with every individual in the world tonight. If they choose the sinner's pathway, then if not in this life, then most certainly in the life to come, they must pay the sinner's price. Remember Lot's wife. Now as we come to look at this woman, there's three simple things that I want you to remember about her. I want you to remember the place in her life. That is where she lived. And then I'd like you to remember the people in her life. There were some very, very important people associated to this woman that God tells us to remember. Then I want you to remember her problem. Now, first of all, let's remember the place in her life. And the Bible tells us that here is a woman who lived in the city of Sodom. Now, Sodom, we know from the record of the Bible, was a very, very sinful city. In all appearance, it was fair to the eye and was indeed, the Bible says, like the very Garden of Eden. We read in Genesis 13 and verse 10 that it was like the garden of the Lord. And yet, it was a very, very sinful city, a city whose sins were reaching up into heaven itself. And their sins were pushing God's limits to the very boundary line. It was a city under condemnation. It was a city that was heading for the swift wrath of God Almighty. Yet, that's where she lived. A city under the condemnation and the wrath of Almighty God. But how come she lives there? That takes us back to the days of her husband Lot, when he, along with his uncle Abraham, discovered that God had so prospered them and their flocks were so large and so huge that there was quarreling and fighting among their hired hands for pasture and for water. And Abraham said, "This is not good that my hired hands are quarreling with your herdsmen. And so we've got to separate. You go your way and I'll go my way. If you go to the right hand, I'll go to the left." And of course, Abraham, being the spiritual man that he was, he gave Lot the first choice. And the Bible says that Lot lifted up his eyes and looked towards the plain. And of course he saw that they were well watered. And no doubt he reasoned in his heart that that would be a good place to raise cattle. That would be a good place to raise herds. That would be a good place to prosper financially. The big question that Lot didn't ask in his heart was this: would that be a good place to raise a family? And at the cost of disgrace, and at the cost of losing some of his family in a lost sinner's hell, the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it was a backward step spiritually for Lot. no doubt meets this woman, they marry, they settle down, they raise a family in the city of Sodom and sin. Now, of course, there's a wee word of warning there, isn't there? I had a young person come to me in the Lord's day and say, well, look, I like this fella, and surely I can win him for the Lord. He's not saved. He's not much interested. But could it be so wrong? Sure, I could win him to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to stand in condemnation tonight, because it has happened. But does that make it right? I'm inclined to say to you, young person, it's hardly likely that you will win anyone to the Lord by disobeying the Lord if you can't win them to the Lord by obeying the Lord. And there's one thing sure in this Bible story. Lot didn't win his wife to the Lord. As a matter of fact, she almost took him to hell with her. And she loved the place of Sodom. And she loved the place of sin. But it all comes about that they're living there through this man's backsliding ways. Maybe there's someone in this meeting and you once loved the Lord, but you have drifted away. You're not in the place spiritually where you once be. But all God's married to the backslider. He loves you freely. But how important that you and I live in obedience to Him. Because the Bible says that no man liveth unto himself. You and I have an influence in those around us, in those associated to us. And you know, Lot soon lost his testimony. Doing things, saying things, I'm sure he never dreamt that he would do or say. Is there someone in this meeting and you're doing things tonight that you never thought you would do? You're going places tonight where you never dreamt you would go. You're saying things tonight that you never dreamt you would say. And maybe nobody else knows about it. You dress like a Christian. You go to church like a Christian. You carry your Bible like a Christian. But when God looks beyond the outward veneer of your life, wonder does He see someone whose heart is cold and distant from Him, like Peter, following afar off. But this is a city where this woman's happy. A place where all her sinful desires and appetites are met. A place that is pleasing to the lust of the flesh. But you know, the moment had come when God said it's time to quit Sodom. My friend, maybe that moment has come in your life, even in this mission. And God is saying to you, it's time to quit your sin. Time to get up out of your sin. Time to flee from the wrath to come. Time to stop your backsliding. Time to stop sinning away your day of grace. God said it's time to get out. My friend, isn't it time to get out of sin tonight? You intend to get to heaven. You hope to get to heaven. I've never heard anyone say to me that they don't hope to get to heaven. If you're in this meeting and you don't know the Savior, I don't care what sins you've committed. I don't care what kind of a life you're living. You should plan, you should intend to get into heaven. No better time to do that than to start tonight. Because, folks, at the end of this meeting, you're going to have to make a huge decision, either to give up your sin or, for another night, to give up all your hopes of ever getting to heaven. But all our happiness was wrapped up in Sodom. Now, sometimes when people stand up to testify, and I'm not being critical here, they will say that they were never happy in sin. But I would have to say, folks, I couldn't say that. Because in my sin, I found that the devil made me very happy and kept me very happy until God opened my eyes to see that there was something better and even a happier life and happier style of life. You may be happy in your sin. Lot's wife was happy in her sin. But God said, this happiness is not going to last forever. It is temporal. It's perishing. It's passing. And there's a better quality of life for you. Are you living like Lot's wife in the place of sin? In the paths of sinful pleasure. And oh, the devil, keep your heart happy. But don't be deceived. Oh, there is a better quality of life. There is a happier life to live. God said to this woman, to Lot, they've got to get out of Sodom. If they're going to be spared, they've got to get out. My friend, if you're going to escape the wrath which is to come, if you're going to escape the flames of an endless hell, then you've got to get out of your sin. Got to get to Christ. Again, let me say, if you remember nothing about this message, remember this woman. Remember her monument. It speaks of a life that was deeply engrossed in sin and the world. Choosing the sinner's path, she paid the sinner's price. And that's a high price to pay. Oh, the wages of sin is death. Sadly, she paid the price. I want you to remember the people in her life. And the people in her life are very, very significant and very important. There was, first of all, the privilege of a Christian husband. Oh, he might not have been living for God as he ought to have lived. And he may have dropped into a backslider's pathway. But no doubt there was something about that man's life that would have been an influence spiritually. Because the Bible tells us that his righteous soul was vexed when he saw the iniquity of that city, when he saw the activity of those people. His righteous soul was vexed. The Bible refers to him as a righteous man. Is there a wife in this meeting? And your husband's a righteous man. Is there a husband and your wife is a righteous woman? Is there a young man or a young woman and your mother and father are righteous people? Is there a mother and father? And your children are righteous children. There is this godly influence which is a daily witness to you of your need of God's salvation in your life. Oh, thank God for those in our homes, those associated to us who love the Lord and are a constant witness even by the living of their life. Reminding us of our need of a Savior. I look back with fond affection to a mother who loved the Savior. My father was not saved until 6 years before his death. And so any spiritual influence that came through my mother. And I used to see her go into her bedroom and shut the door, and she'd get down on her knees and pray. And I wondered, how in the world could somebody pray so long? What would she be praying for? And she would be on her knees maybe for an hour or 2 hours. She never missed the place of prayer throughout the week. Come fair weather or foul, in sickness and in health, she pushed herself to the place of prayer. Now, of course, I know that she was there praying for me. Is there someone in your family that loves the Lord and they're praying for you? An influence not to be despised. Not only the privilege of a just husband, but then the influence of a godly uncle. You see, Abraham was her uncle by marriage. And God had revealed to him what he was going to do, that he was going to destroy the city of Sodom. He would rain down fire and brimstone upon it. He would wipe it off the face of the earth. He would burn it to a cinder in a hurricane of his wrath. And the vials of his wrath were filling up. And the clouds of condemnation are gathering over the city. And of course, Abraham pleads and intercedes with God that he might spare the city. And no doubt, this woman's name is mentioned in heaven. Isn't it a great privilege to have our names mentioned in heaven? Somebody's praying for you. Maybe you're sitting in this meeting tonight and there's someone back at home praying for you. Or maybe a loved one in some other part of the world and they're praying for you. And you may get up in the morning and go out carelessly into the day and come home at the night and never give it a thought. Yet there's somebody praying for you, mentioning your name, and your name's mentioned in heaven every day. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing, in spite of all those privileges, that you lost your soul? You know, the more privileges we have, the more will be required of us. Hell will be an awful place for those who had that witness in their home, and those who were prayed for every day, and those whose names were mentioned in heaven. And though she lived in an awful city of sin, yet she had wonderful privileges. Privileges that maybe you enjoy. And your privileges outshine the privileges of many today. There are those in parts of the world, and they've yet to hear the name of a man called Jesus Christ. Yet you've heard it from you were knee high. But what have you done with your privileges? After all the witnessing, after all the praying, after all the preaching, you're still on the road to a lost eternity. You hope to get to heaven. My friend, when do you hope to start? If you were to go to the city in the morning, no doubt you're going to have to make a start. You're going to have to get on the road. There's a starting moment. And as far as getting to heaven, there is a moment to begin, a moment to start. The best moment is now. Jesus says today is the day of salvation. Oh, people are forever living in their tomorrow. What they'll do tomorrow, what they'll be tomorrow, where they'll go tomorrow. God's not interested in your tomorrow. He's interested in your today. Now is the accepted time, he says. That because tomorrow may be eternity hidden from your view. How many plan to get saved tomorrow, but it never came? And she was warned. She had the influence of a just husband. She had the prayers of a godly uncle. And she was warned when no one else was warned. Because in Genesis chapter 19, in answer to Abraham's praying, God sent down two angels. You don't read that these angels were sent to any other house. And there's a woman, and she's being warned when everybody else is unaware of the awful danger they're in. So today there's people, you're one of them, and you're being warned to flee from the wrath to come. There's people in heathen darkness tonight. They know nothing. They've never heard. There's a coming day of judgment. Yet she was to despise that privilege. Have you despised your God-given privileges? Have you been down through the years trampling the blood of Jesus Christ under your feet? Have you been lifting up the fist of your heart in rebellion against God? You want God in your business. You want God to keep you healthy. But you don't want God reigning and ruling in your life as your Savior. And just like that bloodthirsty mob who cried, "Crucify him," you say, "Away with this man. I'm not having him interfering, reigning and ruling in my life." You prepare your beloved. You prepare your sin. There's people in your life as it was people in her life. Oh, those privileges, my friend, if you die without the Savior, will rise up in eternity to condemn you. You know, but you don't want to know. You've heard, but you don't want to hear. Just give me a little longer. The world, it is so bright. When you feel that you are dying, you'll get saved, but not tonight. You'll have God in your time, in your way, under your conditions. But my friend, that's not the way you can have it. It'll be in God's time, God says today. It'll be under God's conditions. And he says, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. He's calling you tonight to get up out of your sin and come to him for salvation. Remember her place. She lived in a city of sin. That where you're living tonight. In the pastures of sin. Remember the people in her life. A godly husband. A praying uncle. A faithful warning. Do you enjoy all of those same privileges? Are you sitting in the same spiritual condition with the same spiritual privileges as that woman called Lot's wife? Little wonder the Bible says to you, remember Lot's wife. Is this the picture of your life? Is this a reflection of you? Looking into Lot's wife, are you looking into your own heart? Then I want you just simply in closing to remember her problem. And the problem in this woman's life was the sin of procrastination. The angels came. All the inhabitants of the city are sound asleep. They do not know what is going on. They do not know what is happening. But she knows what is happening because the angels came and they said, up, get out of this place. God will destroy this place. My friend, get up out of your sin. You'll be destroyed in your sin if you stay there. You know, the Bible tells me in Genesis 19 that the angels took her by the hand. And the hand of her two daughters. And the Lord being merciful. It might have been in the form of a human being. But God has sent his angel many a time across your pathway. That person giving you a gospel tract. That open air meeting that you didn't want to stand and listen to, too embarrassed. You got to the other side of the street. You got away past them. Someone knocking on your door, maybe inviting you to a gospel meeting or a mission of this nature. But oh, you couldn't see that they were God's angels. The angels took her by the hand. And led her out to the verge of the mountain. And can you try to picture the scene? Because God said, the moment the sun would be risen in the sky, he would destroy the city. And the vials of God's wrath are filling up. The clouds of condemnation are closing in. The sun is rising in the sky. Time's running out. There, angels holding her by the hand, standing on the verge of the mountain of safety. She looks back and God cuts her off. A simple step and she would have been saved. But though she had left it under duress and left it physically, she'd never left it in her heart. Friend, if you take the simple step of faith, you could put your soul beyond the danger of ever going to hell. You could go home tonight and sleep for the first time in your life, the sleep of the righteous, knowing beyond the shadow of all doubt and sure than tomorrow's dawn, if you never awake to greet the light of another day, you'll be with Christ, which the Bible says is far better. Is that not a life that's worth a living? To know that I can't be lost. Oh, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. I'm sure there were those in Lot's day would never have expected to see a Christian down in Sodom. And maybe you're disappointed where you see and hear of some Christians being and doing and going. But I'll tell you this. There's one place you'll never find a Christian. That's hell. I'll be there. Jesus said, I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. My friend, God can save you tonight, give you the assurance of heaven in your heart, and you will know that you can never perish. But you can be like this woman and procrastinate. And you know something? From the very gate of heaven, she went to hell. From the very verge of the mountain, she was lost. Oh, you could go to hell from this meeting. Many a soul has died in the church pew. Lost their soul. But wouldn't it be an awful thing to go from the place of the holy to outer darkness? Wouldn't it be an awful thing to lose your soul in this meeting? Can I say, young person, God's got a better lifestyle for you. God's got a better quality of life for you. You might be happy in the pastures of sin, but God's got something better. Christian woman, heart was filled with joy and delight the day her little boy was born. But his daddy died when he was just an infant child, and the widowed woman was left to bring up the boy at her own. She loved the Savior. She prayed every day God would save him. She not only prayed every day that God would save him, she prayed that God would also call him to be a preacher. The wee boy grew up singing gospel hymns, going to places of worship. Then in came the teenage years and the tug and the influence of the world and ungodly companions. And the childish interest in spiritual things began to fade. So that's what's happening in your life. You couldn't wait to that moment when he'd be of age and he'd be his own man, he'd do his own thing, he'd go his own way, he'd live his own life. Much to his mother's disappointment, when he was 18 years of age, he packed whatever few things he had, kissed his mother goodbye, went out into a big and awful world of sin. And as he kissed his mother goodbye, she said, "Son, when you've gone as far as this world can take you, and as deep as your sin can drag you, remember your mother's God. But he wasn't down the garden path till it was all forgotten. And he lived for years in sin, pursued one pathway of sin after another, until he became a destitute, broken, lonely individual. And after 1 week of awful sinning, frustrated and fed up with living, he came into the little room where he was living, and he opened a drawer, and he took out a loaded revolver, and he cocked its hammer, and he put the barrel of the revolver to the temple of his head, and his finger was tightening round the trigger that would bring down the hammer, blast him into eternity, and into a suicide's hell. Suddenly, like an arrow from a bow, came the words of his mother's son, 'When you've gone as far as this world can take you, and as deep as your sin can drag you, remember your mother's God.' And that young man, who had despised all his privileges, fell down on his knees with a loaded gun in his hand, cried to God for mercy, rose up a new creation, and became a mighty preacher of God's holy word. Young man or young woman, when you've gone as far as the world can take you, and as deep as your sin can drag you, you would do well to remember Lot's wife. She chose the sinner's price. She paid the sinner's price. Remember, your mother's God. One who's praying for you. She procrastinated and she perished. You intend to get saved, but you procrastinate. You put it off. Not tonight. Another night. When I'm older. When I'm dying. Procrastination is a thief of time. There's a time to be saved. It's now. It's tonight. Remember Lot's wife. She paid the sinner's price. Is that the price you're going to pay? Oh, let me encourage you to come to the Savior and come tonight and come now. Doesn't matter what the past has been, the Bible tells me. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. There's not a sin that you can name, but His blood will cleanse it tonight, if you will come. You come to Christ tonight? No. Remember, that's why. Let's bow together in prayer. Let's bow together in prayer.
Father, we thank Thee for the solemnity of Thy word, for bringing us face to face with the issues of eternity. It's a privilege to be here beneath the sound of Thy word. We thank Thee for those who have come, and we pray that Thou wilt have already spoken to them, that Thou wilt awaken them in grace and help them, Lord, to take heed to what the Saviour has said. Remember Lot's wife. And in consideration of her, the many privileges that she had, and the awful end that she came to, may they cry upon the name of the Lord and flee from the city of destruction and get into Christ. Lord, work in hearts now, we pray. Defeat the devil. The devil who would seek to keep men in sin, who blinds the minds of them that believe not. Defeat him in all his plans and purposes, and give victory in this meeting for the Saviour's sake. Amen.